Some knowledge belongs to us and us alone. The way our girlfriends walk, the way they talk, the way they touch their hair. We hold details that only a sister can know about her girls. But what about our other girls? The ones that we carry with us every day. Can we describe them when everything's right? Can we feel when something's wrong? Our bond with our sister girls gives life. But knowing your breasts can save it. You don't know why. Go to knowyourgirls.org for the facts you need on breast health. That's knowyourgirls.org, brought to you by Susan G. Komen and the Ad Council.
Dance like a dad. It's a great way to make a moment with your kids.
First, I hold my hands out like they're on a steering wheel. Then I look over my shoulder. Next, I put it in reverse. Meep, meep, meep.
Visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Dog Show. Up next, we have Satchmo. Satchmo is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right, a group known especially for their couch snuggling, ball chasing, face licking, and of course, companionship. Now, let's see him in action.
Look how he makes eye contact with his person.
That's actually known as the treat stare.
How intuitive, and now he appears to be excitedly turning in circles.
Ah, the happy dance will come in with this group.
But really, the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Satchmo is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
New York Times bestselling author Brené Brown has a brand new podcast, Unlocking Us, about the emotions and experiences that bring meaning and purpose to our lives.
Together, we can explore ideas, stories, experiences, books, films, music, anything that reflects the universal experiences of being human.
Brené Brown's Unlocking Us. Listen on radio.com by searching Unlocking on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
And I really cannot wait to have these conversations with you.
Hi, I'm Michelle Smith, two-time Olympic gold medalist and ESPN analyst. Only 41% of women college teams are coached by women, and the numbers are even lower at the youth level. Female coaches made an incredible impact on me. That's why I'm passionate about helping women level the playing field. We Coach is a nonprofit focused on building a community of female coaches of all sports and levels. Through programming, resources, and support, we're helping change the profession. Visit WeCoachSports.org to get involved.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
The NFL receiver you most would like to face?
Devontae Adams from Green Bay, yes, sir.
And why?
Just the way he creates separation, his releases off the line, the way he runs his routes. He's a very elite route runner. So, I mean, just to go against that caliber of a guy, to see how good I am, to see how close I can stay to him and be able to make plays on him will be big.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is Jalen Johnson, the 50th overall selection in the NFL draft, the second of two Bears draft picks, and he's going to make a lot of people happy with that comment on the NFL Network because, boy, someone's got to cover that guy. All right, let's get out to his head coach, the Utah head coach, Kyle Whittingham, joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline. Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
I'm doing great, coach. Guys. How are you?
Oh, we're doing fantastic. And, you know, the Bears really need a cornerback, and Jalen Johnson fits the bill. What can you tell us about him? How would you describe him as a player?
Well, first of all, I think they got a great one. He's really the whole package as a corner. You know, he's got excellent size. He's a six footer. Close to 200 pounds, so he can match up with the bigger receivers. He's got fluid hips, great speed, ball skills are outstanding, and his football IQ is off the charts. I mean, he's one of the smartest kids that has ever come through our program. I think he graduated in 2.5 years, and so he's a guy that really has no weakness. He's got a great skill set, and I think he's going to be a very good player for the Bears.
Coach, your program did a tremendous job of paying tribute to all of your players that were drafted over the weekend and posting sort of a retrospective of their careers. And one of the, in Jalen's, it was talking to people who knew something about him was special at an early age. I think one of your assistants talked about that after one-on-one drill his freshman year, he stayed on the field after losing it to receiver, and they knew then that he was committed to being the kind of player that he knew that he could be. When did that moment come for you? When did you know that Jalen Johnson was special?
I think it was during the recruiting process. You know, he was a guy that was so focused and had such a crystallized vision of, you know, what he wanted to accomplish the next 3 years. And, you know, we talked about that when we first signed him, that, hey, he said, Coach, I want to you know, play 3 years, come out early, and I'll have my degree. And you know, he stuck to the plan. I mean, he did everything we talked about during recruiting and when we were, you know, when we signed him, he did. And I think that, you know, it was, to me, it was very apparent early on that this is a kid who knew exactly what he wanted and had a plan, you know, in order to get there. And he, you know, like I said, he did it.
Do you think the shoulder injuries is the reason he didn't go in the first round? I saw him rated a lot higher than where he went at 50. What do you think the holdup was with him?
Yeah, I think absolutely that was the case. And you know, he had a little issue with the shoulder before he got to us. And then when he got to us, we had, you know, to get something fixed. And then just, you know, right after the combine, I believe, he had the last surgery. And so I don't think there's any doubt that had that history of shoulder surgeries not been there, he would have been, you know, in the top 15, in my opinion. I think that's the kind of ability that he has.
When you're a shutdown corner in the Pac-12 against some of those receivers, you definitely have the skill set for the job. The athleticism is without question. But, Coach, when you talk about the type of, you know, scrutiny that, you know, a rookie might receive in Chicago after getting beat against the Packers or against the Vikings, and it leads to something, how will he bounce back from something like that? How has he historically handled adversity?
Very well. He's a very mature kid. He's got a short memory, which you need for a corner, as you all know. I mean, that's a position that you better forget things very quickly and be able to move on. And he's competitive. I mean, he's a competitive guy, and you know, so the mentality that he has is perfectly suited for the corner position.
Coach, you had 7 players drafted into the NFL. That's the most in the conference. What was it like for you to watch the draft go and to see your guys go like that? It must have been kind of a proud moment for you.
It was. It was gratifying and the culmination of a lot of hard work for those guys. I mean, they've, you know, a lot of those guys have been in the program 4 or 5 years, and to see them come from, you know, underdeveloped guys. So, you know, when we got them, you know, maybe, you know, they lacked 40 or 50 pounds on their frame or whatever the case may be, and to work their tails off for that period of time and then position themselves to be ready to have a chance to play in the National Football League. And all of them have their degrees in hand. That's the biggest key to me is that they're all equipped. You know, if football doesn't end up working out, then they've got those degrees to fall back on.
Once a coach, always a coach, and you're always going to be his head coach. So on the eve of training camp, whenever that is here in Chicago, when he's getting ready to report to his NFL team for the first time, what will be the advice that you give Jalen Johnson?
Keep your head down and work your tail off, just like he did here. You know, he's just a guy that is completely focused, and he's a student of the game. And, you know, he's gonna pick things up quickly. He's not a high rep guy. You know, my guess is that he'll pick up the defensive scheme very quickly. But just go to work, just like he did here. Just go to work every day and do the things that he knows needs to be done to be successful.
I'm sure, like the rest of us, you were watching the virtual draft, and that's the only way really to do it. How did you handle calling all your guys as they went off the board?
Well, first of all, I shot them a text immediately. I didn't try to call them because I knew their phone would be getting blown up. And so I shot them all a text as they came off the board. And then, one by one, I've been able to talk to them since the draft, you know, as things have kind of calmed down. But it's great. You know, I didn't sit there all day on Saturday. You know, I got to admit, that's a marathon on Saturday. So I watched Thursday night and Friday night, the entire draft. But when Saturday came, I was going about my business and checking my phone, you know, every 5 or 10 minutes to see what was going on.
Coach, guys who do what he's going to be doing in the NFL, if you do it well, you're going to develop a swagger. You need that kind of confidence. How would you describe his personality away from the field? And is that can you envision him developing that kind of swagger that is necessary to be a shutdown corner in the NFL?
Well, Oh, yeah, I believe he's got it already. You know, it's a quiet confidence that he has, and he's very sure of himself. And so I don't think that's going to be a problem for Jalen. He's a guy that believes in himself and always has, you know, ever since I've known him. And so that's something that I think is going to be not a problem.
When you talk about cornerbacks, you know, the confidence thing that you just mentioned, that's essential, right? Is that an innate issue? I mean, you said he's always had it. How do you ever have to build up a guy's confidence? I mean, it's such a living on the island position, and so many different things can come into play. How do you deal with somebody in terms of making sure they remain confident?
Yeah, that you're right. That is a position where you have to have that swagger, as you mentioned earlier, and that air of confidence. And like I said, Jalen had that when we got him. Now other guys, you know, every kid's different. Some kids don't have that, and you gotta try to instill it in them. And they're a little more fragile. You know, Jalen was very mature. You know, that's probably the best word to describe coming out of high school. He was mature beyond his years, and just a guy that was not your typical freshman. But sometimes there are, you know, you come across those guys at that position that get a little shaken, you know, when things go bad, and you just got to talk them off the ledge and you know, just teach them how to operate and what kind of mindset you need. And sometimes it takes, and sometimes it doesn't.
Without getting terribly specific, Coach, if you had to break down how often Jalen was asked to play man coverage versus zone coverage and support the run versus just not having to worry about those responsibilities, how would you describe his job description at Utah?
Well, we play a boatload of man coverage here. That's our staple. And press man is what we like to do. And I'm going to tell you that upwards of 70% of his snaps were you know, man-to-man. And then he was also asked to do a little bit in the run force game, and he showed up very well. I mean, like I said, he's got good size. You know, he's a physical kid, and there was no drop off in what his abilities were as far as being able to come up and set the edge for us, or you know, cut down a pulling guard or whatever and get the thing turned back inside. So he can do it all. Like I said, he's the whole package. And you know, if you came to me and said, "What is his weakness?" I couldn't name one, because he's got so much ability.
Any idea, Coach, when college football will be back? Do you have any feel for what it will look like when it does come back?
That's a great question. We have meetings on that every week. We have a Pac-12 call with all the head coaches and the commissioners, and trying to formulate what-if plans. You know, if we have 8 weeks or 7 weeks or 6 weeks, and as far as the lead time into the season. And so, right now, we're just mainly trying to focus on you know, how we're going to get the guys ready once we do have a date. That date is anybody's best guess. I mean, I don't know if it's going to, you know, ideally we start on time, which is, you know, into August, early September, but there's contingency plans where you start in October and November, and there's even one I saw where you start in February, and I don't have any idea how that would work, because by the time the season's over, you're running into the next season. I don't know how you can ask those guys to play two seasons in a, you know, in a 9 month period, but you know, they'll get it figured out, and when they do, you know, we'll get, you know, react accordingly and get our plan in place. But it's been a little bit frustrating. Our guys are all over the country right now. They're at home and doing the best they can working out. And I would say probably 50% of them don't have a gym to work out at, so that's another problem. And so we're just trying to keep things together and we've done a lot of these Zoom meetings and Google Classroom stuff, doing everything we can right now to keep them as involved and keep them up to speed. But it's going to be interesting. We'll see what happens. And there's another, there's also a model on the table where you don't play any non-conference games. You know, it's just a conference schedule and an abbreviated season. Maybe it's 10 games instead of 12. And so there's a lot of different directions it can go. But the bottom line is we need to have a season. And so hopefully that happens.
Coach, you see a lot of a couple campuses or universities over the weekend. Their leadership announced that they were planning to have the fall semester be reopened and for have, you know, on-campus learning go on. Has Utah reached that stage yet? Because it is affecting coronavirus different parts of the country in different ways. In that region, has there been universities in your state, in your area, that have said, okay, we're going to be, you know, having students back on campus in the fall?
I don't know if anybody's said that or not. Not to my knowledge. But, you know, certainly summer is obviously going to be online, and there's not going to be anybody on campus in the summer semester, which starts in a few weeks here for us. But like I said, to the best of my knowledge, I don't think anybody has made that a definitive decision on what's going on for the fall yet. So we'll have to see what happens.
Coach, thanks a ton for jumping on with us. We really appreciate it. Enjoy hearing about Jalen. I think a lot of people are really looking forward to seeing him play for the Bears. Thanks,
well,
Coach.
You bet. You got a good one. He'll represent you the right way. He's a great kid. So yeah, you guys will like watching him. But thanks for having
good
me
stuff.
On.
Thank All you, right. Coach. That's great. That is the Utah head coach, Kyle Whittingham, talking about Jalen Johnson, the 50th overall pick. Yeah.
Glowing praise, Mully. I mean,
yes,
on and
is.
Off the field.
Yeah, yeah. Not a shocker. I mean, the guy does, you know, come with that kind of reputation. And, you know, it would be, you know, I don't know. It would be man bites dog if the coach came on and said he was a bum. Is that fair?
Oh, right, yeah. I mean, you expect him to be, you expect him to be positive. You expect him to praise his guy. I guess the specific examples, and the fact that he played 70% man coverage, Mully, I think is interesting only because of how often he'll be asked to do that here, and that typically translates pretty well.
Big day on the Score today. So much going on. Stay tuned because Will Perdue will be sitting in with Dan Bernstein today. We've had a great time and want to thank everyone for calling and texting and emailing.
Wonderful. Most of all, thank you for listening.
We really appreciate it. Thanks to our guy, Dustin Rhodes, for his...
We felt like that was kind of a sweet spot of the draft right there in the fifth round.
Yeah, he's the sweet spot. And Ray, oh my God, thank you, Ray, for everything you do.
We're fired up.
And Kevbo was out today, but we thank him anyway because he's our guy. And Adam Studzinski filled in. Studs, thanks a bunch, buddy. Always
thanks, bear down.
Yeah, we would have been phenomenal White Sox fans this year had only things worked, and maybe they will. We'll be back. David, have a great day, buddy.
Have a great day, Mully. Stay safe.
You too, pal. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
End the story.
I see you soon, baby.
That's all I got.
You're listening to Mully and Haw, Chicago's number one sports morning show. They cover all of Chicago's teams, from the daily wins and losses to the most historic moments in Chicago sports. When you think Chicago sports, think Mully and Haw. Mornings 5 to 9, only on Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
The previous segment was brought to you by The Backyard Barbecue Store.
If you need a new appliance now, The Home Depot has the appliance help you can count on. Download the Home Depot app or visit homedepot.com to search for savings on top brands like Samsung. With ratings and reviews to give you confidence, special buy savings, and free delivery, you'll get the appliances you need without even leaving home. The Home Depot, how doers get more done. Free delivery on purchases of $396 or more. Continental U.S. only.
The Bulls' Kobe White.
Hey, Chicago, if you haven't noticed, we aren't playing right now, and you shouldn't be either. As much as you want to see us play, and as much as we want to play for you, we need your help to get back on the court. Please do your part to help slow COVID-19 down. Please follow all local health advisories, stay home, and help save lives.
The Score is here for you. We're always live and local. Just tell your smart speaker to play 670 The Score from radio.com. The Score is helping Chicago stay connected. For more, go to radio.com/stayconnected.
If you're a fan of the NFL, come on over to the Deceptively Fast podcast on radio.com or wherever else you download your podcast. I'm Seth Payne. I'm a retired NFL player. You might know me if you're old and you follow expansion teams. If not, no big deal. We have a good time. And look, I've been hitting the head a bunch of times. But I still know some stuff. Most importantly, I interview people who know stuff. Players, coaches, media, insiders, the whole gamut. Check it out. It's the Deceptively Fast podcast at radio.com.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
The Dan Bernstein Show. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon.
Arturis Karnachovas is going to be handed the reins of Bulls basketball. Will Perdue, what are your thoughts?
The Bulls fans should be very excited. Everybody spoke highly of him. The biggest thing that everybody talked about was his ability to identify talent, but also the relationship with the players.
I'm wondering what other connections are out there. Are we able to sort of project some possibilities here for some other Bulls, be it front office or on the bench?
bench.
You know, when he was an assistant at Denver, you know, he wasn't the head guy, but they all are developing their inner circle that if I ever get a job where I can start hiring guys, these are the guys I'm going to hire. We don't know who those guys are, but all